We're up to Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Aleph, the beginning of a new Perek. Yisusum Midbar Vitzia. This is a continuation of the previous Perek. After this, well, not necessarily a continuation, but we are describing after Edom is destroyed and Mashiach has arrived. Now Yerushalayim will be rebuilt, and with the Kibbutz Golios and the miracles that will occur at this point in time, we read about the great joy, the great simcha that will take place in Yerushalayim. So it begins with the word Yisusum, a very interesting word which means sus. Sus, anochi alim rasecha, kamotei shalorav, means rejoice. Midbar vitzia. Midbar vitzia means what was in the past, a midbar, a desert, and tzia, tzia also means desolation, a place of nothingness, will now once again rejoice. It's always in the past. The midbar vitzia now will be at a state of sason, of enjoyment, of rejoicing. The sogel, another word of enjoyment, arava, what once used to be in arava, a dry land. Now things will change. No longer will it be a dry desert land. It will be restored to a beautiful country, beautiful land, and it will rejoice. V'tifrach kichavat solas, and it will blossom like a rose. So there are basically three things here appearing in this pasuk. I'm not exactly sure of the significance, but we have over here the yisusum, soson, and we have gila, the sagel, and we have here this theme of the blossoming of the land like kachavat solas. We have that in Shir Hashirim, chatzelas hasharon. We have a kina in Tisha B'Av, also describing the chatzelas hasharon. Pasuk Beis Parach Tifrach, the earth will blossom with flowers and with vegetation, with growth. V'sogel, again the word v'sogel appears. Af, in even or indeed, gilas v'ranein, two words which refer to joy, rina and gila. Kivod halavana nitan la, the honor of the levana will be given to the land. Hadar hakarmel v'hasharon, and the splendor of the Carmel and the Sharon. Different types of land have milas. Every type of land has its particular advantages. The forest obviously is not a place where you have produced fruit and vegetables, but the forest is shade. There is beauty. There is might. The cedars of Levana. There is represents gevura, represents elegance, dignity, all different. Each, the forest has its particular milos. Of Carmel, which is a vineyard, it's not densely populated. It's not filled with trees in every 2 inches, but it produces beautiful fruit. So it has its advantage. So here the passage says that Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, will be filled with the milos of both the Levanon and the Carmel and the Hasharon. So it also is a land that is watered, that has, it appears its mile is as pasture, mirish shomein. So three different milas. The forest produces wood, the Carmel produces fruits and vegetables, and the Sharon produces land that is suitable for the animals. Animals need to pasture, they need what to eat so that they can become fat and their meat can be given as used as korbanos for HaKadosh Baruch Hu or for consumption by human beings. So here we have the three different types of land in one pasuk, which is not very common to have all the three together in one pasuk, the Levanon and the Carmel and the Sharon, and all of them together will join together. The milus of each three will be given to Eretz Yisrael. Hema, the Hashon Hema will be there in the land, these three things. The honor, it's interesting, when it comes to Levanon, it says the honor. The forest, there is an Indian of honor. When it comes to the Carmel and the Sharon, it's the Hadar, it's the splendor. Different expressions, what's the significance of why we associate Hadar with the Karmel LeSharon and Kavod with Levanon? That's an interesting idea, but that's what it says here in the Pasuk. Hema, they will be there. Yiru Kvod Hashem, Hadar, Elokeinu, they will see the people who come back, and these people who will rejoice, they will see the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the splendor of our God. Okay, so again, we have also interesting these two words. Again, there is a parallel. When we refer to the land, we have the Kvoid Halavanon, and we have the Hadar HaKarmel VeHasharon, and then when we describe HaKadosh Baruch, we again use these same two terms, the honor of Hashem and the Hadar, the Hadar, the glory, the splendor of Elokeinu. Pasuk Gimel, Chazku Yadayim Rafos. Now this is interesting in Pasuk. This is a little bit different than we're accustomed to in the previous Parak, in previous Pasukim in Yeshaya, where here Hashem is giving a command. Hashem says, I command the prophets, the Nevi'im, the prophets, the Tzadikim who will live at this point in time, when Yerushalayim is rebuilt, when Eretz Yisrael is restored, I command you, Chazku Yadayim Rafos, strengthen the weak in hands. These people will be people that will need chizuk. Strengthen them. It appears from the psukim that the time that we are discussing is before the ultimate geula. And it's at a time where people still need to have emunah that geula will come. So, I mean, there's conflicting signals in this parak. On the one hand, it's going to say in a few moments about the great miracles of all of the sick will be healed. And the previous pasuk says over here that the land is blossoming and there is rejoicing and there is gila and rina and so on and so forth. But yet here in this pasuk Gimel, it's telling the Nevi'im, Spimachazik, the people, they should believe, they should have emunah, that these times indeed will come. So maybe he's going back to the time that Yeshai is speaking, he's going back to his lifetime, maybe speaking to people that are right before this period of time, or maybe this period of time there is a process, and not everything happens in one shot, and there will be times of great rejoicing, but even during those times of great rejoicing, the geula will be incomplete, and people will still need emunah that the complete geula will come. Chazku, yeah.
It seems more like the first shot, that he's giving them hope for the future at a time when
of Chorban. Right, so we're going back. It appears he's going back now. He finished his few psukim of what's going to be in the future. Now he's coming back to the world of reality, right. Coming back to his people, to us, and saying Hashem is giving the Hashem here is speaking to the Nevi'im. Chazku Yadayim Rafos, strengthen the hands that are weak. Uvirkaim Koshalos Ameitzu. Ameitzu is the same thing as chizuk. Strengthen the knees that are stumbling, that are bending, that are bent, that are about to collapse. Strengthen them. Imru, speak. Lenim hare leif. That lashon of maher. People who are impatient. People who are want Mashiach now. And if Mashiach does not come now, they are agitated. They give up hope. It's either now or never. And if it's not now, so we're not interested. So Hashem says to the Nevi'im, speak to these people who are impatient. Imru lenim hare leif, the impatient of heart. Chizku, say to them, strengthen yourselves. Don't speak this nonsense that if Mashiach doesn't come within a few days, a few weeks, a few years, that's it, I give up, it's never going to happen. Strengthen yourself. Al tirahu, do not be afraid, even though it may not come in your lifetime, it may not come within a short period of time, do not fear, it will come. I guarantee that. Hinei behold, Elokeichem, your God, Nokom Yavo, the vengeance of your God will come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will eventually come and exact revenge from the enemies of the Jewish people. Gemul Elokim, the payment of Elokim. Hashem will reward and bring punishment upon those who deserve punishment and reward. Hu Yavo, he will come, the Yosha'achem, and will redeem you. So don't be impatient. We learned in the Yeshaya, we have that pasuk, Hamamin lo yochish. The person that is a true believer is not in a rush. That was a pasuk we had back a couple of parakim ago, and we say that in the davening and the animamim's afa pisha yismanea im kol ze achakel b'chol yom shiyavu. A person has to realize it will come in its right time. Pasuk Pasuk Hey, Oz Tipakachna Inei Ivrim, at that moment in time when Mashiach comes, the eyes of the blind will be opened. The Ozday and the ears of Chareshim, the deaf mutes, Tipakachna, will be opened. Now this can be interpreted literally, that miracles will occur, people who are deaf will once again hear, people that are blind will once again see. But Rashi interprets this more metaphorically, where the Jewish people whose eyes were closed to see the Yad Hashem, to see the Hashgacha Pratis, now at this point in time their eyes will open, they will see patterns, they will see the Hashgacha and the Yad Hashem. Ears that are deaf, meaning people that did not want to listen to the Nevi'im, to the Tzadikim, to the Madrichim, to the Rabbanim, now they will soften and they will be receptive to hearing the words of the leaders. Pasuk Vav, Oz Yidalei Ko'ayil Pisech, then the Pisech, the lame, people who are unable to walk, they will leap like an ayol. An ayol is an animal which can travel very quickly. It's a wild animal, not to be confused with an ayil. There's an ayil and an ayol. Ayil is a behemoth. Ayol is a chaya, it's a wild animal. It travels very quickly. It's just like a tzvi. Tzvi v'ayol. It travels very quickly. And the pasuk here says that the pisech, those that were lame, will leap quickly like an ayol. V'saron lashnov avarina will sing. Lashon ilim, those that were mute, those that were deaf mutes, or just unable to speak, well, at this point they will be given the gift of speech, not only speech, the ultimate form of speech, which is song, and they will sing. Why? Because the desert, what was in the past, the desert has been broken forth with water, and streams, the dry land has opened up with streams. And of course, this can be taken literally, that this point in time, miracles will occur where, like in the previous pasuk, where we had the deaf and the blind will see and hear. In this pasuk, we can take literally that the people that are unable to walk will their koach of walking, their legs will be restored, and those that are unable to speak will once again speak. But we also can take this as more of a symbolic interpretation, that people who were unable to accomplish anything, Chazal tell us that the difference between a malach and a human being is a malach is an oimate. A human being is a hoilech, can travel, can accomplish, can go higher and higher levels. So people in the past that were stuck, they were in a rut, they could not accomplish anything, they could not elevate themselves spiritually, at this point in time will leap like an ayol. They will travel spiritually, they will accomplish great things. And people who are unable to speak, meaning koich hadibur, whether it's tefillah or it's learning, all of a sudden, the biggest amaratzim will be giving drashos, pulpulim, in Torah that are equivalent to the greatest Rosh Yeshiva. So those that were elaim in Torah and tefillah will now break forth in shira, the ultimate form of dibur. And mayim is hoy called sami l'chula mayim. Mayim is Torah, places that were desolate. There wasn't even a havamina that there should be a yeshiva, a makam Torah, a minyan, cities and different communities. All of a sudden will be filled with Balei Tshuva, will be filled with Mekoymos of Torah and Tzfilah. That's what's going to happen. The midbar, place that were empty from Torah, will now break forth with water, which is Torah, Unchalim Bo'arava. So these two can be taken literally, or can be taken figuratively. Pasuk, by the way, of course we know that this Pasuk Vav is the source of the introduction to the Sheva Brachos benching. We say in benching, Divai Hoser, Vigam Charon, Vioz Ilaim, the Shir Yaron. So Divai means pain or anguish. Here in the Archgold Siddur, they translated pain. Divai, pain, like Vai, woe, from the expression, like Vai, what? Dava. Okay, Dava is worry. Dava is worry, or I guess Dava also comes from, but here it's also Zvachifying Dava, worry and pain. Haser, may you Hashem remove. Vigam Charon, may you remove anger, wrath, may your anger be taken back. And at that point in time, Bioz Elaim, those that in the past were mute, Bashir Yaron will break forth in a song. So that comes over from this pasuk that we just read, pasuk vav oz yidalei ko ayol pisach v'sorohon l'shoin ilaim. Okay, so here's where it comes from. How often do a person get to learn this pasuk that we have over here? When you say, many people go to Shebrachas, you always hear this, Devai Haser V'gam Charon, they have very nice songs that use these words. It comes from this pasuk in Yishai, Perek Lamedei Pasuk Vav. And seemingly the connection between this and Perek Lamed Hey, I assume, is we are describing here the rebuilding of the Beis of Yerushalayim, of the Chorvos of Yerushalayim. That's what's happening over here. He's describing that there will come a point in time where the land that was once a midbar will now break forth in song. It will blossom. There will be flowers. There will be growth. There will be great spirituality. And the people that live in the land will break forth in song and shira. Chazal tell us, any individual who is misameach choson v'kala, ki'ilu bana achas mechorvos Yerushalayim. It's as if you've rebuilt one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. These psukim, pasuk perek lamedei, is describing the rebuilding of the chorvos of Yerushalayim. And therefore it's appropriate to borrow from the themes in the psukim that are discussed here when we begin the Sheva Brachos, which is a celebration for the chasan and kala. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk zayin, V'hoya ha-sharav la'agam. Sharav means a land that is dry. Sharav, the Mitzudos translates yovesh. Yavshus ha-choyim, an Indian where the sun shines down, like we had tsoyon, a land that is arid. So the land that was sharav will now break forth with la'agam, will now become a swamp. Similarly, it's a metaphor, will be filled with water, v'tzima'on, and pieces of land that were thirsty, lemabue moyim, will be filled with pools of water. Binvei sanim rivtsa, in an abode that was once occupied by serpents. A tanin is a serpent. This refers, it's to be interpreted in the past tense, a land that in the past was occupied by a serpent will now be settled by Bnei Yisrael. Rivetza means the Jewish people will lie down. They will occupy. They will develop. They will cultivate. And the sun obviously will have to move out. Chotzir lekone vogoma, and it will be filled with different types of vegetation. Does not tell us, there are three different words. Obviously we always say that we have a whole list of different ideas. Each one has symbolism. Each one refers to a different form of growth. But at this point in time, there will be three different forms of growth in the land. There will be something called chotzir, grass, something called koner, reeds, and something called gomer. These are three things which require an enormous amount of water. The fact that these three things can grow and develop in this land is an indication that the land is well watered. And of course, as we say so many times, that the water here is symbolic of Torah, Hoy Kol Tzomei, L'chulamayim, Eretz Yisrael will be saturated with Torah, as we see today. That is what is happening in Eretz Yisrael today. Pasik Ches, so Hoyasham Maslul Voderech. Okay, this is very, very mystical pasuk. We really do not know what this means. At the time of Mashiach, there will be in Eretz Yisrael a road, two different types of road. A maslul is a small road, a mesila. A derech is a highway, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lanes. Does anyone know in the United States the biggest highway with most lanes? Any trivia? Anyone know that? I don't know the answer. So how many lanes do you have? An average highway has what? 3 lanes. In each direction. I'm sure there are highways that have
in LA,
probably in LA.
How many?
Six, that's
way,
it?
Yeah. Each way.
Even more. Even in New York, there are places that have more than six.
Each way.
There are places, and even New York, they have more than six. No? Seven, no, eight. When you come to the bridges, they have some.
No,
some.
No, but that's 12.
What?
That's six each way.
Yeah, I mean,
the bridges in New York, they do.
Okay. Wait. This is not important. But derech, a mesila is a small road. A derech is a very large road. It can handle an enormous amount of traffic. So it's saying here that in time of Mashiach, the Hoyosham will be there to show a maslul and vod derech. The derech hakodesh yikori lo, it will be called the holy road. The only one that can enter this highway, you have easy pass. You have to be holy. If you come to the to the booth, it looks into your neshama, and if it doesn't see kedusha, the gate doesn't rise. It doesn't
scanner.
Let you what?
Like a scanner.
The scanner doesn't look at your easy pass device. It looks into the neshama, and if it does not see kedusha, sorry, you can't go. Pull over to the side. You do not have access to this road. That's what it says. V'hayasham maslo v'derech v'derech hakodesh yikarila. Lo ya'avrenu tamei. Tanaim will not be able to pass on this road. Fascinating. V'hu lama. It will be lo means for them. It will be for the holy. It will be for Bnei Yisrael who are holy. And here the pasuk includes holech derech ve'evilim lo yisu. This, on this road, no one gets lost. You don't need GPS for this road. Now that means, holech derech means people who are accustomed to traveling, seasoned travelers. Right? If someone's a seasoned traveler, you go on the road every single day, you go every day to New Jersey, you go here, you don't need a GPS. I know the roads better than the GPS. GPS gives me crummy instructions, tells me to go here, there. I can do it a lot, but I can get there a lot faster. So the holech derech means the seasoned traveler. And then there are people like me, the evilim, people who are lost, who are confused, the fools, who don't know how to go. And they need someone to take them by their hand. Remember the olden days? The olden days, you don't even remember the olden days, when there was not even MapQuest. So then to go travel far away was a nightmare. You have to get instructions, right? Someone gives you, you write down the instructions. It was a nightmare. You go somewhere, you go here, there, where do you go? You then generally find the place where you have to go. And then you wonder if you're going in the right direction. And then you realize you've traveled 50 miles in the wrong direction. Then things got better. MapQuest. That was before GPS. Oh, MapQuest. Wow, what a miracle. You type in the computer, gives you instructions, and you go with the instructions. What a machayah, but you know you have to pay attention to the road. And then what happens if you miss the exit? You're finished. But it wasn't so bad. At least you had instructions to some degree. If you get lost, so you somehow. Then came the GPS. Ah! You make a mistake, no problem. It takes you right back on. A whole different world today. But the Evilim are the people that need instructions, the people who are confused. The Avil means a fool. I mean, that's a pretty powerful expression. But in this context, it means the people who are not accustomed to traveling on the road, they need guidance. So if they travel this road, they would get lost. No worries. When you travel this road, although it may be complex, there's a hashkacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guide you, he will be your guidance system, and he will get you where you need to go. This, of course, is symbolic that when you come to Yerushalayim, everyone will come there. Everyone who comes to Yerushalayim, the holy city, is coming to find the derech in serving Hashem, to get you to the next madrega, higher and higher. This is the derech HaKodesh. And every person will be guided, whether you are a seasoned traveler, you're a Talmud Chacham, you're a Tzaddik, and you want to go even higher, you want to reach even a higher madrega, so don't worry, you'll travel this road and you'll get to the next level of Kedusha. Person is a beginner, he's starting out, he needs guidance, he's not used to Kedusha, don't worry, you'll also be guided on this special path and be taken to where you need to go. It's a very beautiful mashal, what Yerushalayim is going to be described in times of Mashiach. Again, to take the pasuk literally, it's very difficult. I mean, what does this mean? There's going to be a shvil and a derech, and it's a derech HaKodesh, and only tzaddikim can go, not the tameim, and the seasoned travelers and the fools will be able to travel, and they won't make any mistakes. No one's going to make a wrong turn. On a deeper level, it refers to the derech of derech Hashem, the road, the highway to serve Hashem, and the seasoned Talmidei Chacham will be able to ascend higher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the beginners will be able to ascend to their level, and no one will make any mistakes. Everyone will get where they need to go. Pasik. What?
Are there any to suggest how this is going to happen?
The only thing I saw, I think, was in Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab says, we don't know what this means. It's too mystical really to understand what this means. Okay, I don't know. I didn't really look very much besides the basic Parashalim, a little bit of Schwab, a little bit of David Cohn's Sefer. I didn't really see anything. I'm sure there are more things out there. You have to study. There's a lot to learn. But this is just a very, very simple level.
What are the people who can't make it? Where are they at? I mean, like, are they turn around and go back home?
Everyone will, to some degree, everyone will make it, it appears. That's what it says. There will be this road. So a person should be matar himself. A tamei will not be allowed to enter. Who are the tameim? So I think Rashi is the goyim. The goyim, the non-Jews. This will be a path only for the Jews, for Bnei Yisrael. It means someone who's tamei, so be matar yourself. A person wants to go on the road, so go, be matar himself. Fetaher libeinu. Li'avdecha be'emes. Okay, pasuk test. V'lo yesham ari. Now we describe the Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. They're not going to be any wild animals. They will not be found in Eretz Yisrael. Ari is a lion. Who is the lion? So Rashi says the lion refers to Esav, and the second interpretation says it refers to the Nebuchadnezzar, because we have different midrashim, different Mar Chazal. So Rashi covers all ground that at this point in time Esav and the Nebuchadnezzar, learned, I guess, on a very simple level, Bavel. The influence, if you take this psukim literally, the time of Yeshaya. Yeshaya is speaking about he's predicting the Churban Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni was to Edom. Edom was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. I'm sorry, the Bayis Rishon, not Edom. Sorry, I'm getting all confused. So Yeshaya is speaking in his time, and who is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash 125 years later after Ashur? Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is Bavel. So he's describing that ultimately the time will come where there will be a Bayis Sheni. The time of the Bayis Sheni was also meant to be Mashiach. So we discussed so many times that Ashur and Chizkiyahu were supposed to be the days of Mashiach. That didn't work out. When was the next chance? The next chance was 70 years later. Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was meant to be Mashiach, along with the assistance of Ezra and Nehemiah. They were meant to be the players in Mashiach. Koresh. Koresh gave Rishus. He was also a part. We had one pasuk where he was called Mikudoshai, my holy one. So we learned according to some of the version that Kadosh Baruch Hu called Koresh a holy person, because he was supposed to be the person that would be instrumental in causing and bringing about the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, which would be the permanent Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Shlishi. It didn't work out. But here Yeshaya is speaking about another opportunity that will come in the future. At that point in time, there will no longer be the influence of Nebuchadnezzar. Lo yesham aryeh. Or now that we look further, that did not turn into Mashiach. So we look in our times, and we had a Bayis Sheni, and the Bayis Sheni was destroyed by Edom. Edom is Esav. Now, when the Bayis Shlishi will be rebuilt, it will no longer have the influence of Esav. We will be out of the godless of Edom. Edom is Esav. Uferitz Chayos Bal Ya'alena. Who is the Feritz Chayos that appears? The nations of the world. Those who breach the walls. Wild animals have a tendency to breach, to break down even the most powerful walls. So this refers to the nations of the world. They will no longer have any influence over Eretz Yisrael. The United Nations. They're called the Feritz Chayos. The nations of the world, the Chayos, and they're the Pertzim. They break down the walls of Eretz Yisrael. No more. They will have no influence. Bal Ya'alen, they will not ascend upon Eretz Yisrael. Lo Simotze Shem, they will not be found. V'holchu Ge'ulim, and my people, the Yisrael, who are the nation who will be redeemed, who are the redeemed ones, they will enter, they will come into the land without any fear whatsoever. And then we have this beautiful pasuk, which we're all very familiar with. We have this, Ufiduye Hashem Yeshuvun, those that have been redeemed by Hashem will return. Ufdu means those that have been redeemed by Hashem in the past, from the time of Mitzrayim. Now they will return to their homeland. Uvahu Tzion Birina, they will come to Tzion with song. The Simchas Oilam Al Roisham. This means the Simcha from time immemorial, from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So when they left Mitzrayim, they had enormous simcha. Rashi explains the simchas oylam, simcha asher me oylam shohay salahem kvar b'derech yitzias me Mitzrayim. The simcha that accompanied them when they left Mitzrayim, b'tseisi me Mitzrayim, that will be with them. B'shuvi l'Yerushalayim in the kinos of Tisha B'Av. Where was the simcha? It's a very interesting Rashi. Hashem hoylech lefnehem yoimam. It's a fascinating Rashi. If you were writing this Rashi, what would you write? The Simcha Soilam, the Simcha that accompanied the Jewish people when they left. First, the Chiddush Rashi says that this is interpreted to mean the Simcha that accompanied the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim. So if you would describe the Simcha, you would search through Chumash Shemos, you would find some high moment in time. I don't know if we would, the average person would necessarily select the pasuk that Rashi selects to describe the Simchas Olam, the Hashem Hoylech Lefnehem Yoimah. It's a beautiful insight. That was the Simchas Olam. It wasn't the Mon, it wasn't the Bizas Mitzrayim, it wasn't Oz Yosher seeing the Egyptians dead on the sea, it wasn't when they, the Ugos Matzos Hashahotzilu Mitzrayim, it was the in the desert, there are serpents and there are snakes and they don't know what's going to be tomorrow, there's no food, there's nothing. All they know is the Hashem Hoylech Lefnehem Yoimam. The Amud Ha'onan is in front of them, going in front of them, and they're following the Amud Ha'onan. That is the ultimate Simcha. It's fascinating. Would you write this pasuk as the Simcha? No. I don't think the average person would think this is the great Simcha. That emuna, that knowledge, that Hashem is in front of them. And there's Amud Ha'onan, and we're following Vashem Hoylech Lefnehem Yoimam. That was the ultimate Simcha that Rashi can use to define the Simchas Olam al Rosham. Maybe it's because the word Rosham, that's why. Not just because Hoylech Lefnehem Yoimam is the Amud Ha'onan, the cloud of glory which is in front of them. Sason v'simcha yasigu. Now this is a beautiful idea that simcha will overtake you. In our lives, it's just the opposite. We're chasing after sason and simcha. Isn't that true? I can't speak for you, but most of us are down, and we're looking. We're looking for a little boost. We're looking for an injection of simcha. So what do? We do different things. Some things are good, some things are not so good. We try to stimulate ourselves to enjoy life. We chase after simcha. That's not the way it's going to be. You don't have to do anything. Sason and simcha will chase after you. That's what it says. Sason v'simcha yasigu will overtake you. V'nosu yogon v'anacha. See, and this is also the opposite. Yogon v'anocha, sorry, and sadness will run away from us. In our lifetimes, I think we feel most of the time that yogon v'anocha is chasing after us, and we're trying to run away from it. And we're running after sason v'simcha. It's just the opposite. Yogon v'anocha will run away from us. It's hard to fathom such a thing. And sason v'simcha will chase after us. And that's going to occur at this beautiful moment in time, in time of Mashiach, when we return with this beautiful, just try to remember this pasuk, this beautiful thing. The simchas oylam al roisham is to know. It's to know that in your life, v'Hashem hoylech lefnehem yoyma. You have to remember that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding you. Hashem hoylech in every single person. Hashem hoylech lefnehem yoyma. It's a hashkacha. That should be the source of the ultimate simchas olam al roisha.
What's sason? Why does he do
that? Also, what's the difference between sason and simcha? You're asking a very profound question. What is the difference between sason and simcha? So there are numerous interpretations. There's a Vilna Gaon. One interpretation is that one of these two words, some of them change, they're interchangeable, refers to the joy of haschala, when you start something new. When you start a new mesechta, there's a certain simcha, there's a freshness. You come the first day to school, the first day of a shir, the first day of a... That's called sasa. Mm-hmm. Simcha is joy in accomplishment. When it's over, and you look back and you reflect, wow, I've accomplished something. Satisfaction. Simchas, it's called Simchas Torah. Right? Simchas Torah. Why is it called Simchas Torah, not the sason of Torah? Because Simchas Torah is when we conclude the Torah, we're mashlam, we're messiah in the Torah. Simchas Torah Shmini Atzeres is the end of the cycle of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. It comes at the very end. It is a joy of conclusion. We've come to the end of the cycle. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Shmini Atzeres. That's Simcha. Soson, sos onochi al imrosecha, kimotse shalol rav. You discover something new. I rejoice over your Torah, like I found, I've come upon, I won the lottery. What's the simcha of winning the lottery? What I'm first going to do now. I have now in my pocket $1 million. Now I'm going to be able to do this, and do this, and do this, do this, and do all these things. So the soson is a joy in the, that a person feels in the beginning of a process. Shavuos is soson. Sos anochi alim rasecha, we rejoice in the beginning, the Kabbalah satara. The beginning. So that's one interpretation to define this between sason and simcha. There are other interpretations which I do not recall this moment in time, but interesting. You want to say yogan v'anochas? I never thought of this, but maybe if you take that approach, what is the difference between yogan and anocha? Oh, so if you were to take that approach and you would say there's a parallel, which is obviously the great, very great advantage of all these type of psukim and sefer Yeshayi and Yirmiyah and Shayasar, is that we learn vocabulary. And being that there's so many words, so many parallels, there's doubling and tripling of words, you can match one to the other, you can get more of a richness in the meaning of the word. So if you would take that approach and you would say that yogon corresponds to soson and anocha corresponds to simcha, people in life, though, there are different types of pains. There is a pain that a person has that goes on for a very long time. You have a yoch on your head. And this goes on for a Rahman son, a person has a problem, go on for years. Right. And then finally, when the problem comes, what?
Chronic condition.
That's anocha. If you take that approach and we match anocha with simcha, just like simcha represents a joy that comes at the end, an accomplishment of a period of time, over a long period of time, anocha can refer to a chronic type of anguish. And yogon can refer to a momentary, a person goes to bed, gives you a shot, he gives you medication. So for the period of time, the short period of time, it's a temporary tsar, but nevertheless, it's painful. Yeah?
Could it also be that one is physical pain and the other?
Could be. Emotional pain. And echlami, so you can match that to sasam and simcha as well. You can say that one is a physical, one is emotional. And echlami, there are many interpretations, but at least I think we gain an advantage is that thing that we have here, this parallel between sasam and simcha, yogan vanocha, whatever we can define in sasam and simcha, we can match to yogan vanocha on the opposite end of the spectrum. Okay, so this concludes Perek Lamed. Now, Perek Lamed is the end of a very significant section because now for the next two parakim, we have a narrative. It's as if the word, the Perek Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, it's almost as if we're learning Sefer Melachim. It's like a story. It tells us exactly the events, what happened with Ashur, with Chizkiyahu, the entire sequence of events. Ki'ilu, we're learning, these psukim are come out word for word, as in Sefer Melachim. Sefer Melachim is not like Sefer Yeshai, obviously, where there's all the symbolism and metaphors and very mysterious, obscure psukim. It's very straightforward. That's what we have now for the next two psukim, for the next two parakim. Why is it arranged in this fashion? I do not know. Who exactly wrote these parakim? Was it the Yeshai said it? Because L'chaim, this is not from the words of Yeshaya. So maybe we'll look into that a little bit more, because Yeshaya's words, and Yeshaya, it appears, did not put anything he said into writing. Yeshaya spoke, and there were people that memorized what he said. They memorized what he said, and Chizkiyahu and his followers took his famous prophecies. Some of his prophecies were repeated multiple times in his lifetime. He said over the thing 100 times. Like the first prophecy, Chazon Yeshua ben Amos, was not his first prophecy, but this was his signature prophecy. And therefore, it was recorded as the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya. There's a lot of, and other things, you had one student that memorized this, one student memorized this, and they all collected, came together, they collected his prophecies and put them in Sefer Yeshaya. But the next section appears to be not necessarily from Yeshaya, it appears to be from the scribes of the time, whoever they were, the Nevi'im, it's the prophecy who recorded the events that happened in that period of time. And then after we conclude that section, we pretty much lead into Perek Mem, and Perek Mem is the Nechamos, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, which takes us all the way to the very end of the Sefer, through end of Sefer Yeshaya, Perek Samach, or Samach Vav, Samach Hei. Samach Vav goes through the very end. So this is really a very significant breakpoint in Sefer Yeshaya. These are mostly harsh prophecies of churban, gloom, and doom for the nations of the world, for part of Klal Yisrael, and a lot of other things mixed in. But now it's going to be different from here on in to a certain degree. Okay, we'll stop here.